Hi, everybody. We're back. Welcome to What's the Point, a podcast from Trinity Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'm Heather, and I'll be your host for today. And with me are my wonderful friends.
I'm Katie O'Connell.
And I'm Tom Westcott.
All right. And we are starting our November little mini series here. Tom's starting us off with making noise with his microphone.
Per usual.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. So yeah, this November series, we're going to be talking about like church, like, and how church is changing. Mm-hmm. So, we are all people who work in a church and have
what?
For quite a while.
We
I know.
Are?
I know. Yep. We're all like paid to be here.
You guys get paid.
But I remember like, when I started working at church, there was always like this emphasis of like, this is what your job is going to be and other duties as assigned or like, and other things because church is a weird place sometimes.
Yes.
So my question for you guys to start is like, what's the weirdest church experience you've had as a like working staff member? Like, what's the weirdest thing you've had to do?
So listen.
We know it's going to be good when Katie says listen.
Oh, it's, I wouldn't even say that it's good. This was just weird. And it was my first experience of working in a church full time. So when I started at Bloomer, I know I talk about Bloomer a lot, but when I started at St. John's in Bloomer, it was peak pandemic. Like it was June 2020.
Okay.
And I feel like that just kind of says it all. But on top of that too, like I was coming in and filling the shoes of a gal who had been there over 20 years, right? Mm-hmm, like I was just like a year out of college, two semesters into seminary and still like, what the heck is this whole seminary thing, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just weird. Like it was weird trying to get myself out there for parents to know. In a world where, you know, shutdown was still like a huge thing. It was just weird. And I feel like I did an okay job at it, but it was also like, I also don't feel like I ever was able to reach all the families that I could have because
COVID.
Yeah. COVID changed a lot of things. Yeah. So that's my weirdest church experience is just starting this full-time position in the midst of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird time.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Pre-Hinks Wilson. Much better. Much better. Mine is a little more, it's interesting. In my previous call, we had a few folks on staff, not many. We had a half-time secretary, very part-time youth person, and a half-time janitor. And so a lot of those duties as assigned came up a lot. And so I would be the one to do it. Mm-hmm. One, all right, sit down. Let me tell you what to do. Imagine this. It is February in North Dakota.
Cold.
So it's cold. Mm-hmm. Like we're thinking highs of like one, highs of zero, which is like a good day. And we had the kindergarten screening for the school district at the church.
Okay.
Which was a great outreach to get kids in there, be a welcoming place.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, water started backing up through the drain in the women's bathroom. Oh, that's interesting.
You told me about this
recently. I did tell you about this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it wasn't just like a frozen pipe. It was a frozen sewage pipe. So there was poop water in the women's bathroom, which was bad enough because here I am like, all right, well, I guess I'll just, you know, try and mop this poop water back down the drain. Oh, it's not going down. Okay. So redirected people to a different bathroom.
Yep.
But then it was, I need to find a solution to this poopy situation. Yeah. And so I had to call the local plumber. And he came and said, nothing here. We're going to have to call utilities. So the city utility guy came out And the city utility guy climbed down into the sewer. Mind you, it's 0 degrees outside. And we chiseled out frozen poop water from the pipe.
Yeah, because you went with him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're just like, yeah.
So you were in the sewer. You.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Pastor Tom.
We climbed down, like, in through the manhole. Sewer,
chiseling frozen poop.
Right.
Chiseling frozen poop out. Yeah. And so it wasn't like this epic thing where, like, once the ice was free, there was this giant poop gun. No, it wasn't like that. But we got it free. And, you know, just started, the water started flowing out again. Hooray. And so it was one of those, like, yeah, you should write this down if there's ever a problem. Just climb back down here and chisel the frozen crap.
Like, that is so funny.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. And it's just one of those things where you can't make it up.
Mm-hmm. So that, just to be clear, that was not on your job description.
No. Chiseling frozen poo is not usually in my job description. But then I got to go back inside to clean up the poop water in the bathroom and mop that, and, you know.
All while, like, preschoolers are running around the building.
Yes. So
funny. And their parents.
Yes.
That's funny.
That's amazing. I just love this picture so much.
Uh-huh.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. So that's a good segue to what I was going to talk about is my weirdest church experience. I feel
Did
like
you also chisel poop water?
No, but it does involve Tom and poop. I could talk about, like, I feel like a lot of weird experiences I've had are like when Don comes into my office. Yeah. I was like, hey, you got a couple minutes?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what do you need today? You know, whether it's like running wire or holding the ladder for him while he goes up way too high on places or, you know, things like that. But the most recent one I'm thinking of was when somebody in one of the preschool classes had a dirty diaper that overflowed and got on the carpet.
Oh, no.
And there was not a custodian in the building that day. And so this was not even my weird experience. This was Tom's weird experience because Tom was like, I'll clean it up. That's fine. I have experience with poop at church. So
he's a common trend.
So he's down on the floor cleaning up the poop. And that's, you know, weird.
Having kids, it's helpful, right? I wish, though, I wasn't in the poop years still, but here we are.
With your children?
Yeah, with my children. Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm not, but the dog. Is.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, that is a common conversation point between my husband and I. It's like, has he pooped yet today? What was the poop like?
Yeah.
How many bags?
Been there.
Okay. Anyway, poop. All right. Not the theme for today. Okay.
No,
so this, the idea for this episode came about as Tom and I were talking about cleaning up the poop and some other experiences we've had around Trinity recently where he tells me these stories about being in a small church and, you know, and it's like, we just have these moments where it's like, oh, small church.
Mm-hmm.
Small church is when, like, people just have to do weird jobs because there's not enough other people to do it. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about small church. So anybody who's been at Trinity, for example, I just gave a tour to someone the other day who was from a small town and they just were walking around the hotel at the time like, oh my gosh, this place is huge around our building.
Mm-hmm.
So Trinity is a pretty large church.
Yes.
You know, there's plenty of churches bigger, but like we're a big church.
Yeah.
And my experience with churches has always been with fairly big churches. I've never been a member of a congregation that has had less than two pastors.
Mm. Oh.
But I know most churches, I think, are not big churches. So I'm wondering, really, I want to ask you two, because I know you both have experiences in small churches and big churches.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you could talk about what are some of the differences you see? What are your experiences? You know, where have you been? Where there's small church, big church? I just want to kind of hear about what are those differences? Because I haven't so much experienced that. I just hear about it and read about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I guess I think the biggest thing for me is, in comparing the two, is that a lot of things have to be organically led in a small church.
Yeah.
For example, we had a fire in my previous congregation, and we got like service master to come clean, but we had to get 50 people on a weeknight.
Yeah.
To help clean up, to help reduce cost, and things like that. But it take that idea of it takes a village you know, to raise a child, or it takes a village to do something, in this case, come back from a fire, was very real. And so we got, you know, we fed people sloppy joes and stuff like that. But it, there's this communal, I don't want to say ownership, but a communal like responsibility for the building as well as the community of people, I think, that small churches have. And then, of course, that can get a little toxic and become protective and a little nostalgic and things like that. But I think, by and large, a small church, people band together to do stuff and don't leave it to a pastor or a staff person to do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I, for context also, I've really only, like, growing up, I was always at small churches. My kind of first church that I, well, there's two. So this is a fun fact. This is my third Trinity that I've been at.
Oh.
The first one was Trinity Lutheran in Sparta, which is where I was born, and I lived there the first 5 years of my life. And then I was at Trinity Lutheran in Boyceville with Pastor Brad Peterson.
If he's listening, you are now at the Trinity Lutheran Church.
I sense a conflict.
I guess. And then I was at Cross Lutheran in Roberts, just outside of River Falls. And that's where I was when I was in high school, which is still pretty small. And then St. John's in Bloomer, which is where I was working now here. So up until like this Trinity, it was all small congregations. And it's really interesting, I think, to... You know, you were just talking about the community, and for me, it's interesting because while I definitely saw a lot of what you were talking about, Pastor Tom, I also saw a lot of, and I do see it here too, I just saw it a lot more, I think, at the smaller churches, but it's the more generational things where, you know, you have a bunch of different generations coming back all together. So from, you know, great grandparents and grandparents and then mom and dad and then kid, you know, that kind of thing. But then on top of that too, it's the kids were just constantly bouncing around from, you know, family members to like friends, like old, you know, elder people in the church that they just befriended somehow. You know, and they were just constantly like, during worship, just going from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. And I do see a lot of the kids here, like, sitting with other people. But I feel like for the most part, they're sitting with, you know, their adults, whether that be mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, whoever, you know, whichever adult they come with. So that's one thing, one of the biggest things that I've noticed. And similarly, just in because I did so much youth work both at, well, at Trinity in Boyceville and at Cross Lutheran in Roberts and then at St. John's in Bloomer, there's just kind of a different emphasis put on the youth ministry at each one of those places. Like here, I feel like bigger churches focus more on, yep, let's take attendance, let's sign them in, like, you know, all that stuff versus like when I was at St. John's, parents were just like, yeah, whatever, like we don't need to sign them out. They can sign themselves out and we're just going to be hanging out in the parking lot. And it was like that for me growing up at Trinity in Boyceville. Like we would all just kind of be in the entryway waiting for our parents out in the parking lot. You know, Pastor Brad wasn't like, oh, let's make sure you guys get signed out. It wasn't a big deal. Yeah. Yeah. So those are kind of just some of the differences that I've seen.
Another difference from my context with small churches is my grandfather was a pastor, and I shared that in one of our series. And so very unique congregation, being a Latvian-speaking immigrant congregation in an urban setting. And at that point, I think that small church didn't tend to youth.
Yeah.
We did like a joint Sunday school with the English-speaking congregation that we rented the space from. But it was just more of a, here's what you have, and we're just going to double down on those people that came over.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was ministry for them, not the next group. And so it was kind of this realization that this church is about a specific generation of people, or for a specific generation of people. And after that, you know, this church will die. Mm-hmm. And knowing that. And so they just ministered to themselves well, I think, as best they could, at least.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of beauty within that, knowing that your congregation is not going to last. Mm-hmm. And let's just do things the best we can for each other. And then when it's time, we're just going to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like that also speaks really well about, for small churches too, is I feel like, and this isn't everyone, obviously, but I feel like in general, from my experience, people in smaller churches are very much like, you know, more community-based. They're, you know, they kind of come together and are like, we want our worship experience to be like XYZ, versus here at Trinity, I hear a lot more of, well, I want my worship experience to look like XYZ, and you need to do this because it's what I want, versus people, you know, again, coming together and being like, this is not what we want.
I wonder, and maybe this is for another episode in the series, but I wonder how the attitudes of people in large versus smaller congregations is either more passive or active.
Yeah.
And so if you're passive in your church experience, it's more of a on-demand sort of experience that you can curate for yourself, versus the more active, where sometimes you got to live with some of the warts that are a part of things.
Yeah.
Anyways, Heather, I don't mean to take us off.
No, I love it. Okay, so I'm going to jump in here with some nerdy, sociological stuff.
Oh, boy. Which, buckle up.
They were definitely making fun of me when we walked in this room, and they're like, oh, you have notes. There's numbers. So when we were preparing for this, I went back to some seminary notes. I had a class that was like, I just love this class. It was church organization and leadership. And so it was just all super nerdy church stuff. I know. Okay, but this was one of the things that I found that was really interesting. And it talked about congregational size and like what that means for the structures of the church. Sure. So how many people would we say average worship attendance?
Between two Sundays and a Wednesday?
Yeah. Average weekly attendance do we have at Trinity now?
I'm going to... Well, if we're going off of this kind of fall, I'm going to say we're close to 400.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
So about 400. And in, you know, in, oh, probably 20 years ago, I would say, you know, we were maybe more like 600.
Sure.
Probably.
And okay, so some of the churches that you came from, what average weekly worship attendance was? Close, throw out a number.
For my previous call, close to 300.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say I feel
that was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm not going to compare it to St. John's because that was definitely during COVID times. But if I go with like Cross or even Trinity in Boyceville, I would argue probably the 250, 300 number there. Mm-hmm. And that for
that's
Trinity.
Bigger than I expected.
Right. Well, in Trinity and Boyceville, they only have one worship service on Sundays and one on Wednesdays during the school year.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think Wednesdays were a big pull.
Yes. Yeah.
Previous call.
Interesting. Okay. Well, so I have this congregational size, and it goes by congregate or by average Sunday attendance. So there's different kinds of churches, and talk about that. Okay. So your smallest churches are your family churches. So like 0 to 50 people worshiping on a Sunday morning. Okay. So these churches function more as a family, and the pastor is not, they tend to get a lot of first call pastors that don't stay for very long. So the pastor is not as important as like a dominant family, maybe, who kind of runs the congregation.
Sure.
So those are, you know, the family churches, you know, maybe tend to have like more of like a matriarch or something like that. So then your next size up are pastoral congregations. So maybe 50 to 150 people worshiping each week.
Okay.
So in a pastoral church, it's small enough that the pastor can be in relationship with everyone in the congregation personally. And so the pastor tends to have a lot of influence and authority, where, like, if you're picturing the congregation as a circle, the pastor is in the middle of the circle.
Okay.
The next size up, like 150 to 350 people worshiping, is called a program church, according to my notes. I can't remember where this is from, except maybe Professor Dwight Shiley.
I'm having flashbacks.
Right. Uh-huh. Okay, so program church, you might get up to, you know, more than one pastor. Your pastors have more of a focus on planning and overseeing and management of programs, so it's a little more administrative. Mm-hmm. And so there's, like, multiple cells of activity. So you have your children's ministry, you have your, you know, elder ministry and things like that. So you have more teams and programs. And so things are, there's, like, circles within the circle, sure, of the congregation, right? And so people in the congregation have a more primary relationship with a ministry director as opposed to the pastor sometimes, because they're big enough that the pastor can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next size up. Corporate, so this is what we would put Trinity as, 350 plus worshiping a week. People tend to have more of a relationship with one pastor or another. So usually more than one pastor, sometimes several. So maybe don't have as much of an even relationship with both pastors. It's kind of a step up in different circles within that circle of ministries.
Sure.
But there tend to be more staff, and so it's really important that staff have relationships with each other, right? That, like, team, so, like, lots of different teams that have to function well together. And so the role of the pastor is more about managing staff and focusing more on, as, like, a CEO, even, mm-hmm, like, thinking about stewardship and vision and that kind of thing. So there's that, and then there's another category that's this mega church that's maybe over 1,000 people worshiping each week. And that's just, you know, lots more professionalized staff, maybe tend to have, like, a really charismatic senior pastor who's, like, mm-hmm, you know, one of these, like, names that people outside the congregation know. So it functions a lot like the smaller church, but just more and more staff, more specialized staff. So, okay, thinking about that. I'm just curious. So then that affects lots of things. It affects, you know, how a church council functions. You know, in a smaller mm-hmm. church, sometimes the council members, like, represent, you know, you've got your youth ministry rep and you've got your health ministries rep, and they come and they report in. But at a bigger church, there's too much going on to do that. So they're much more, like, visionary. So I guess, what is that? I see Tom taking notes. I'm just wondering, like, what is this trigger for you in your experience between small church, big church? Like, does any of this resonate?
Yes, very much. I think for me, it puts just a lot of things into perspective, because one of my personal struggles here has been almost like the, how do I want to phrase this? Oh, I mean, in a sense, almost the lack of relationships that I have with the pastors.
No one wants to be your friend.
I know, right? But I
let
think,
it all out, Katie.
No, I just think that it comes from a different place of, like, Trinity and Boyceville. I mean, Pastor Brad, like, I went to him for so much stuff. And, like, I still to this day have a really good relationship with him, and even Pastor Martin and Bloomer. Like, when we had our weekly meetings, I would say at least half of it, if not sometimes more than half of it, was us just talking about life and, like, the things that we were both kind of dealing with in the time of COVID and whatever. And so and still to this day, I have a really great relationship with him. And so it's just one of those things that coming into a church like Trinity, in my head, I expected more because of my past experiences. And not to say that like Patrick and Tom are doing a terrible job at building relationships with staff. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just different. It's a different kind of relationship where mine previously were much more personal. These are much more professional.
Sure.
And neither of them is right or wrong. Obviously, it's just the structure that you were talking about. It's just very different. And the responsibilities of the pastors are very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was good to help me put things into perspective.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Tom?
I resonated with all of that. And I think what I, in my experience as a called pastor, previously it was, how do we function as a congregation that started out very small in that family model, living in pastoral for a long time and dipping our toes into program? It was, how do we navigate this expectation of I can't have a relationship with everybody and drop by everybody's house for coffee and cookies every month. How do we live into that mindset while also growing into more of the pastoral program where we have lots of stuff going on and honoring that and being happy about that? So like dancing between those worlds. And now post COVID, it's how do we live into that corporate, maybe growing smaller into the program? And so it's the two experiences of growing up and growing down. Not that like numbers are everything, but it's how do we exist best?
Yeah.
And so it's living in the tension between the two systems and the expectations. And the expectations, I think, are what, if unspoken, can lead to resentment and things like that. So, yeah, so I agree with all of this. And it is just this delicate dance of how are we church together as a pastor, a lay person, a staff member? What are our expectations and what's realistic and unrealistic?
Yeah, and that's why I think this is so interesting, right? Is that like there's real ramifications here and people have expectations based on their background, based on what they've experienced before, based on what was true 20 years ago that's maybe not true now. And so it's just interesting to think through like, okay, what are the differences in a lot of things in these different kind of sized churches, and how do you navigate that change walking from, you know, maybe one model to another? And what does that look like for, you know, I wonder, as someone who's worked in a church for a long time, like, what does that look like for people who aren't on staff? You know, like, do people in the pews notice those differences as much as, say, maybe, you know, someone on staff might? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Heather, can I ask for you, what is your experience, I mean, with this? Because I know you've been at Trinity for, what, 10 years?
I've worked here for over 10 years now. Yeah.
So when Tom was talking about the dance between like corporate, maybe down to program, does that resonate with you a lot? Like, do you see that a lot in the children's men and maybe like families potentially struggling with that, or
knowing
how to navigate it? Or...
I think it's. I haven't always had the same role, so I haven't had the same perspective for the whole time. So that's one thing that I'm trying to think of. I think about the role that I have right now, where right now I am overseeing birth to age 18, basically. And when I started, there were, you know, during the time that I've been here, there have been between 4 and 6 people who have been in that role. And now there's me. And, you know, maybe we could count Emily and who does admin as, you know, maybe one of those people on the team. But that looks a lot different when you've got 6 different people doing different things and different specializations, and one person working with high school and one person working with Sunday school. Whereas, for example, this weekend, I had high schoolers going on a youth trip who are doing a fundraiser, and I'm leading Sunday school, and we've got someone in the nursery, and, you know, kids are singing in worship, and I kind of have my toes in all those things.
Yeah.
And so it makes for a different relationship for me, and not necessarily closer or farther from right. people, but just a different relationship yeah. than if there are six different people. And so this person can hang out in the lobby the whole time, and this person right. can teach the middle schoolers the whole time.
Right.
So that's different. Mm-hmm. But I think the especially with kids things, just helping people navigate expectations as far as what kind of programs are offered. And, yeah. you know, there was a time where we had all these summer camps and right. giant VBS. Yep. And yep. I'm looking at next summer saying, okay, well, I'm taking a group to New Orleans and I'm going to lead summer stretch for middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to lead Vacation Bible School. But Vacation Bible School can't be the same week as the youth gathering because right. I'll be in New Orleans. So, you know, just things like that that end up. I think just helping people manage their expectations,
yeah.
especially, but it's interesting because the families that are newer to Trinity don't have those expectations mm-hmm. because they yeah. maybe weren't here 20 years ago. Right. And so their expectations are a lot different than, you know, maybe people who have been around longer.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's just a lot of managing, I yeah. think, helping people manage.
Yeah.
You know, what they want and what their expectations are and, mm-hmm. and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, No, go ahead.
It can be exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like, there is a high level of burnout for staff people and pastors and deacons. And mm-hmm. I think if you're listening, please be gentle with your yeah. church leaders because holy buckets. It
yeah.
often feels like we're being attacked from 1,000 different directions.
Yeah.
Because we can't please everybody. Yeah. We're trying to do the best with what we can.
yeah.
But then I remind myself, not even Jesus could please everybody.
That's true.
That's true.
But yeah. I just say that because this is a wild time to be in the church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think of... I've preached on this before, but Phyllis Tickle was a theologian, and she had this theory that every 500 years there was some sort of reformation within the church mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. the Abrahamic faiths. And so mm-hmm. we think of the last big one being Martin Luther and the Reformation. Before that, there was this big sort of crash of Christendom and things like that. But we think of, or explosion, crash, whatever, recategorizing itself. Anyways, the biggest thing for us in the 500 years after Martin Luther nailed those 95 ideas to the Castle Church Wittenberg door was COVID. Mm-hmm. Like I used to think it was the rise of social media being
mm-hmm. right.
the big new sort of right. way mm-hmm. we communicate and express faith, but no, it's COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we just need to be okay learning and growing in a new time and space for church.
Yeah.
It's radically different. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get into it in another episode.
Yeah.
But the church numbers for mainline congregations has been decreasing. And mm-hmm. then COVID happened. And I think we just fast forwarded 30 years, 50 years ahead.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so it was just a big shift for everybody. So please be gentle yeah. with yes. your church leaders.
Yeah.
So Tom's about to step on our next episode if he keeps talking.
Okay,
so
I'll stop.
I'm going to shut you down. But what, so this episode, you know, we talked about small churches, mm-hmm. big churches, size of churches. I'm going to go ahead and say, like, there's not one that's better than the other.
Correct.
Nope.
So let's just take that as our takeaway. And, yes. like, what can we learn
yeah.
from these different mm-hmm. models? What works well? What doesn't? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of good to think about those yeah. differences and,
yeah.
and
yeah.
help people walk through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, coming from my grandfather's congregation when he died, my family was exhausted from all the work we did in a family-style mm-hmm. church. I was
sure.
like, we need something where we can just be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And participate, yeah. but just not be
yeah.
everything.
Yep.
So going to a corporate, to a mega congregation was important for us.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Huh. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up for today, and we're going to dig into some of those more changing church trends
yeah.
next time. But thanks for sharing your experiences, my friends.
Thank you for creating yes. the space, Heather. Yes. Professor Day.
This right? was good. This was good.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to, yeah.
Glad cathartic. We saved it for the podcast.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see you next week, everyone. As always, give us a shout. You can email Katie at
Katie, KATIE, @trinity-ec.org.
And remember, if you have missed some of our podcasts, you can always go back and listen to our back catalog, mm-hmm. which Tom made fun of me earlier for knowing that term. So some of our previous episodes, they're still available. You can go listen to them. Yeah. And then we're going to make some more, too. So.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. All right. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.